Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, our living Lord and our Savior. Amen. So what does it take for you to feel like you are home? What's home for you? Does it have to do with relationships? Or does it have to do with space and geography? Is home a neighborhood? Or maybe a particular building, or perhaps a collection of family members. Maybe home is simply where you have that feeling that you belong. However you choose to define it, Israel has lost their home. The people of Israel have been taken into exile, the Babylonian captivity, it's called. They've lost their homeland, their houses, their government, even their centers of religion. And some had even lost their faith in God. As we've surveyed Old Testament history in the past months, we have seen it all lead up to this. God's people had rebelled against their Creator. They had put their faith in their government and in their religious observances. They had assumed that because God had protected them in the past, He would always do so in the future. Their personal faith didn't mean anything to them. They felt like they could do whatever they pleased, and they indulged in their sinful nature. Injustice and unrighteousness were their fruits. Only a few seemed concerned. And even after God sent prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Habakkuk and Zephaniah to warn them, they continued their rebellion. They continued to turn away from God. And so God sent judgment in the form of the armies of Babylon. And the people were carted off into exile in a far away place. They got an extended time out. They endured the shame and distress of being without a homeland. They were strangers in a foreign country. Jeremiah told them to settle down and raise families. In chapter 29, we read, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because it prospers, you too will prosper." And this is what the Lord says, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." This was not to be a short vacation in Babylon. Some, like Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, rose to positions of leadership and prominence in the Babylonian government. Many never gave up their hope. Here's a song written during that time. "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing to us the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy." The psalmist is longing for home, for Jerusalem, for Zion. And so Cyrus, the Persian, enters the scene. Persia is, of course, modern-day Iran, and Babylon is modern-day Iraq. Those two nations have almost always been at war in world history. Cyrus is the descendant of Persian royalty, and he and his armies capture Babylon in about 538 BC. And among the many decrees that we have from Cyrus and his ministry is one that sends the children of Israel home. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem and Judah. Any of his peoples among you may go up to Jerusalem and Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. May their God be with them. Cyrus tells the children of Israel, it's time to go home. And you can only imagine the rejoicing that happened on that day. The Bible doesn't say, but I have to imagine that the people said, it's time for a party. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. And so a remnant returns to Jerusalem. And among the first of their projects is to rebuild the temple, to relay the foundation, for it was destroyed when the Babylonians sieged Jerusalem. Cyrus even returned some of the temple furnishings. And the people pool their resources and work together, and they raise up another temple, another building for the worship of the Lord. It's similar in layout, but it never quite approaches the glory of that former temple. And there is weeping and celebration as the temple is dedicated again, and the Feast of Booths is celebrated. Sacrifices are offered, and the people are home, free to worship the Lord once again. God had promised that his people would return. God always keeps his promises. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. For us, we may well feel like foreigners in a strange land sometimes, isolated, unconnected, feeling like we worship a different God than the prevailing gods of our world, gods of individuality, gods of materialism. We feel like we're different. Maybe like we stick out like a sore thumb. We go through strange motions and maybe even feel a little bit embarrassed. Perhaps it's worse at this time of the year. We're waiting to celebrate Christmas, and the rest of the world is worried about if we've spent all our money yet. We sing songs like, O come, Emmanuel. And the world is singing, oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. Yeah. We look forward to God's coming with anticipation when he returns on the clouds. And the world is waiting for, well, whatever you think might bring joy and hope. Whatever, they'll tell us. But in the midst of this season of Advent is the powerful reminder that God keeps his promises. He promises us his presence. The temple was the place where the glory of God dwelled. It was the visible reminder that God lived in the midst of his people. For New Testament believers, Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the place where God's glory is most fully revealed. But it's a hidden kind of glory, isn't it? He's born as a child in Bethlehem, not in a palace surrounded by kings. And the supposed king of Israel actually tries to kill him, and so his family has to flee almost immediately, exiled to Egypt. He returns and is raised as a Nazarene, and as his followers even said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He attracted great crowds, but he never seemed to have a hometown or a place to stay. He told his disciples, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And even John the Baptist, the one who called him the Lamb of God, the one who seemed to have the clearest understanding of his mission, has his doubts about this Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? But this is Jesus, the one who has left a heavenly home to take upon himself our sin and our shame. He is our Savior who pays the price for our sin and rebellion. He dies so that we can be right with God. Whatever may separate you from God was nailed to that cross on that hill outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus' promise is to be with us. His word is sure. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there am I in the midst of you. Take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. It's shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And our Lord promises to take us home one day. Zephaniah the prophet writes the word of the Lord. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. A day is coming when all will be made right. A day is coming when there will be a heavenly homecoming. That day will come as Jesus returns in glory on the clouds. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, the world will be judged, and all who trust in Christ will find their home in Him. And dear friends, that's a heavenly reunion where one can only imagine the joy. We're going home. It will be even better than the Packers beating the Bears today. We'll be reunited with loved ones who have shared the faith. We will be in a place where there will be only joy. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away forever. There will only be the joy of knowing Jesus and being known by Him. That day is not here yet, but it is coming. Jesus will return, the dead will be raised, and the new heavens and the new earth will be inaugurated, and God will dwell in the midst of His people forever. On that day, we will be home. God has promised it, and He always keeps His promises. And so the prayer of God's people is, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us now worship our Lord through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.